show.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the Entrepreneur Circle, where we've built a community that shares lessons learned throughout our journeys, celebrate wins, our eureka moments, and embrace the F word, meaning failure, which I've come to realize that failure is success in progress. I'm Eric Cabral, your host, a husband, a father of two brilliant girls, and I've been called a heart-centered entrepreneur by my peers and mentors. My mission in life is to make the world a better place, one mic at a time. So I'm happy and humble to have you join in on that mission. And I hope that by the end of the show, we would have added value in your life. So if you're ready to jump into the circle, let's get to it. Hey, I'm so glad you're here because I don't often get the opportunity to share with you exactly what I do and what we do here at Honor Your Brands. So we help the folks in our community and our clients to launch a podcast and then produce them on a weekly basis. We also help to promote each episode with close to a dozen social media posts that consist of quote cards, sound bites, and video clips. And then we post them for you on your socials automatically. So if you're a business owner with a ton on your plate, and a podcast just seems super overwhelming, I get it. We don't need one more thing to worry about. So let me and my team at On Air Brands do the heavy lifting each week so that you can focus on what you do best, which is to build your business, have more time to pour into your family and your community, or just plain chill and recharge. So feel free to email me at Eric at On Air Brands so that we can book time together to chat about how we can align with your mission and how you can align with ours, which is to make the world better. One mic at a time. Now back to the show. Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle. I'm your most happy and humbled host. As usual, I have an individual with me that I've known for quite a while. His name is Zachary White, and I just want to welcome him to the show before I do a nice little intro. Welcome, brother.
Eric, what a privilege, man. So pumped to be here.
Yeah, dude, it's been way too long. I'm pumped as well. I just want to let everyone know, if they don't know, to go check out your show called the Happy Engineer Podcast. So you are the host of that. So as you have your earbuds in, go subscribe and like and check out what Zach is doing there. He's also a happy husband, a career coach who focuses on helping engineers and leaders reach their maximum potential without suffering burnout. He's a big mindset guy. He's all about finding fulfillment and happiness and having balance in our lives. We had a great chat before the conversation took off, and it was really about finding that happiness and working through our own struggles and challenges. But we're going to dive into wherever the conversation takes us here. And again, brother, welcome to the show, man. Happy to have you here.
It's a pleasure. Eric, you weren't supposed to tell anybody I had a challenge. I thought this was like the flawless, everything's perfect show, right? Isn't that what we're here to?
Isn't that what Instagram's for?
I'm in the wrong place. I thought we were going to just talk about the good stuff, Doc.
It was all my challenges. Man. Wait. Let's redo all that.
That's right. We were only talking about Eric's challenges. Eric's, I don't have any.
But yeah, I'm super excited to have you here and to get into the weeds of things. But let's start off with the first segment of the show, which I love very much, and that is the eureka moment in your life or business that caused a major pivot or change.
Eric, my biggest eureka moment, the ultimate pivot of my adult life, came in the spring of 2019. And one thing that I've done for a long time, I still do, is every quarter I take a weekend to have a time of fasting. Water only. I don't eat any food. And I take some time during that weekend for what I call solitude and silence. And it's just a chance for me to unplug, get away, do some listening and reflection in my life. And it's a habit I've had for a long time. And it was my solitude and silence weekend in the spring of 2019. And I went away to this little resort in South Haven, Michigan, right on Lake Michigan, beautiful area. And if you've never done a time of fasting, it's a very challenging thing for your body, but it's really powerful in terms of creating clarity and just getting in touch with what's going on in your spirit. And so I'm on this 3-day fasting solitude weekend, and I had what is no question the most clear download from God I've ever had in terms of what I needed to do next in my life. And to describe it, I would say three worlds collided with clarity. The first world was my engineering background. And for those who don't know, mechanical engineer by training, had spent my whole life as a career professional building a very successful career in engineering. And so that whole world was bucket one. The second was coaching. You know, I had fallen in love with coaching and had done coach training as a tool in my toolbox as a leader in my career, but also in my personal life, and explain more about that later. But coaching was number two. And then the third was entrepreneurship and business. And I'd always owned companies as side hustles, and I really loved business and wanted to do something there. And it's like these three worlds collided, and I had this vision. And the way I describe it, Eric, is I found out for the first time that I didn't become an engineer to be an engineer, which was so weird to say. Like, I'd spent 11 years of my life. I have 2 degrees, a master's in mechanical engineering, my bachelor's in mechanical engineering, all of that not to stay in that profession. And it didn't make any sense. It's like, what is this all about? But I got this deep sense of calling that everything I'd gone through and everything I'd learned and everything I'd experienced in my own burnout and failures in life was setting me up to become, you know, a voice and a leader, and to share that message with other engineers who were struggling and suffering from burnout, who wanted to get to that next level and couldn't figure it out because nobody teaches us how to do that. And that weekend, it all just hit me. And I came home and told my wife, hey, I think I'm going to quit my job and start a company. And I have no idea exactly how this is going to work or if I'll be able to make any money doing this. But I know that this is what God wants me to do. And so that was it, man. And literally just a couple of months later, I turned in my 2 weeks notice and launched into what is now my full-time mission at Oasis of Courage, my coaching company for engineers. And, you know, 4 years later, praise the Lord, still alive and still doing the work. And here we are, man.
I love it, dude. I love how you put that. I may borrow that, but the download, it speaks to me because it happened to me as well. And we could reserve that for another conversation. But that is such a powerful experience to have. That clarity in a mission is undeniable. And it's such a great thing to have, because most people don't have what I would call is basically purpose, right? You're always looking through life for that. I want to highlight some of the people that are listening to this and kind of identify who you were, because that's, you know, as you and I through the Brand Builders experience and journey have discovered, like, we're basically talking to the old version of ourselves. So what were you experiencing? The burnout, the days in, what was a day like? Like, who's listening now that maybe like, holy crap, that's me. I'm not necessarily an engineer, but in your case, I know engineers, and you're right. Why do they burn out? What is it about the industry that causes that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we could take that Eureka moment concept, and if you back up just a few years before spring of 2019, Eric, it would have been the fall of 2013. And so if you want to know what was going on in my life and who I was, this is the moment. You know, if there was a Eureka on the opposite end of the spectrum, when I realized I was on a downward spiral that had no way back, I was past the point of no return. I went on a work trip. So I'm an engineer doing, you know, technical program management at the time, a job that I was extremely good at. I was receiving so much praise at work for my top performance, delivering on projects, hitting all the targets, everything going great. And I'm, you know, chosen to go be the hero on this program that was falling behind on many different levels. And the tech lead left the company because he was getting so burned out. And I got picked to go pick up the mess and clean it up. I was so proud of that, right? And of course, you can imagine what happens. I started throwing my whole life into that work. And so I left for Tennessee for a week to go to the factory and help be the hero, solve all these problems. Well, Eric, I got back from that work trip and I don't know how many hours I put in, but I don't even think I called my wife at the time. And Eric, this is ex-wife now, you know, a little preview of where that goes. And I came home from the trip expecting to walk in and see her and have dinner and figure out what we're going to do that weekend. And instead, I walked into an empty house. And looking all around, she's not there. And I go into the kitchen and there's a note on the kitchen table that says, "Hey, I'm with my parents. I don't think this is working. This marriage is as good as done. I think we need to get divorced. You know, you're more in love with your work than with me." It's just like, wow. And my whole world collapsed in that moment. And, you know, the burnout was steep from that moment, right? I literally just crashed. And there's so much we could talk about around that time, but I ended up divorced shortly after and depressed and embarrassed. Just like, how did this top performer, this guy that everybody thought was going to be so successful, and I had it all together, and I was a Christian, and I had this great family, and I had all these things going for me, and somehow none of it mattered. My whole life unwound in that, you know, few months, and had to put the pieces back together. And so who was I? Well, I was a guy who only knew how to do one thing: work harder and get smarter. That was my whole identity through high school and college. And, you know, I was very intelligent. I was very smart. And I just wrapped my whole life around my ability to solve problems with my mind. And unfortunately, anybody, you know, who's married knows you can't solve every problem in life with intelligence. And in fact, I neglected, the way I describe it, it's like I hid the truth from others and from myself about how bad things actually were. So I look back now, Eric, and it's like, the signs were all over the place that things were not working at home. You know, I was so one-dimensional around just trying to be successful. And all of that slowly led me down this path of deep, you know, a lack of fulfillment. I was just unhappy all the time, but still had this ability to trick myself into, oh, but I'm still going to be successful. I'll be happy when. I'll fix my marriage after I get this next promotion. As soon as this project is over, then I'll have more time. You know, I just kept lying to myself about this. You know, our mutual friend James Reed talks about, you know, the runner-up mindset. Like, when this, then I can have it. And I was totally trapped in that. And I burned out gloriously, just grinding my face along rock bottom. It was really bad. So, yeah, I'm an engineer and I'm proud of that, but I didn't know how to do life, you know? And so I have mechanical engineering degrees from Purdue and Michigan, but my lifestyle engineering degree I got from rock bottom.
Yeah. Wow. That's a wild way to, I'd say a first, dude, with my Eureka segment here, and that, we had the glorious Eureka moment, that the divine intervention, and then now we have the catalyst for that. I love the full context there. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us can relate to that, dude. Thanks for sharing.
Eureka's not always positive, right? That was a Eureka that, wow, I've completely screwed up. And it was that moment that actually caused me to do the work. You know, reaching out, getting counseling, hiring my first coach, just completely rebuilding my understanding of faith and family and work and all these different parts of life and how to balance them, that prepped me for that download in 2019. I couldn't do the work I do today if I hadn't gone through that season of grief and suffering.
Yeah, it's funny how suffering, love and suffering, is the main thing that men will have to experience in order to make a major pivot or change. So, yeah, in this instance, it was both, right, for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Love and suffering. Exactly. You know, and you know, as men of faith and God, you know, I often try to remind myself, you know, the suffering that Jesus went through, which no one on this planet can even begin to imagine. You know, his entire life of suffering for us. You know, so I'm like, this, what I'm experiencing is nothing. It pales in comparison. So it kind of gets me through the dark times. I'm trying to relate in any way to that, but. That's great, man. Thank you for sharing that and giving us context. So I think that most people that I know, and people probably listening to this podcast right now, have experienced or is experiencing what you went through. What are some of the things? I know balance is a big core value for you. What are some of the things that you recognize and started to put in place for yourself to have more balance in life?
There's two really important principles that guide all of the coaching we do around what we call lifestyle engineering. Balance is one of them. And the thing that I'll start with is I don't like the phrase work-life balance. And I know it's well-intended. I don't want to poo-poo on anybody who uses that phrase with good intention. But as an engineer, I'm a big believer in models. We want to have accurate models for how we view work and life and these different things. And as engineers, we do lots of that in our profession, but it's also true in all of our lives. We have these mental models. And when you say work-life balance, what's the model that pops into your mind subconsciously? It's like a scale, right? Somehow work is on one side, life is on the other side, and we're trying to create this balance. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean they're supposed to be the same? Work is the same as life? Does it mean I want life to be more important than work? Or work is like, what? Well, I'm just trying to, it doesn't make any sense because life is the whole thing and work is a subset of that. And so you don't balance bad work, burning out at work or being unhappy at work, hating your job or dreading going in on Monday morning. Like if that's you, you cannot balance that with loving your life or partying harder on the weekends. And in fact, what I see, Eric, all the time is not something that's balanced. It's closer to bipolar. It's like, I dread my work. I hate my job, but I'm going to go home and try to have more fun or party more or have some drinks or go on vacations to try to make it okay. And you just end up with these extremes. And that actually accelerates burnout to the point where you have no energy and your life really loses meaning and fulfillment altogether. It's not the right path. So balance to me, it's an active word. It's not a static thing. Balance is an active value. You're constantly seeking to stay in balance across all of your values and vision. So, today I might spend a lot of time at work. Let's say it's a really stressful time. I need to put in 12 hours today to hit the deadline. Okay, cool. You know what? If that's the right decision for today, to hit a priority for me at work and something I've committed to, I'm gonna make that choice. I'm gonna be confident in it. I'm not gonna let myself feel a sense of guilt that I'm not at home. I'm gonna let my spouse know, hey, I need your support tonight. I'm gonna be working late. That's the situation. But guess what? If I do that every night, then I'm gonna be out of balance in my marriage. I'm happily remarried now. I should put that in context. So, okay, cool. Then, to me, to stay in balance, I need to be proactive and intentional to say, tomorrow I'm leaving at 5, and maybe the next day I'm going to take the afternoon off and go do something special with my spouse to stay in balance, right? It's constantly tweaking and tuning and looking at what do you need across every domain of your life. That's the mindset of balance that I bring now. It's not that I'm ever there. There's no singular perfect way to live every day of your life that keeps you in balance forever. It doesn't exist. And if you're trying to find the perfect morning routine or the, is it 40 hours or 45 hours a week? Like stop looking for the perfect recipe. There isn't one, right? There's an answer for today and it's going to be different tomorrow and it's going to be different next quarter and it's going to be different again next year. You have your first child, it's going to be totally different than it ever was before the first child. All these things change. So priority one is balance. And I really do believe that it's more possible than anybody thinks to experience fulfillment and joy and happiness across these different domains. It just takes intention. And we live our life on autopilot or by default, instead of getting into the driver's seat and living by design. So for me, it's all about how do I get out of a default life and get into a designed life? That's the shift I want to make every single day. Did I design the experience that I'm having right now? Or did I allow myself to just drift by default into the experience that I'm having right now? Mm-hmm. And those are two very different lives to live. And on the outside, Eric, they might look the same to you. But on the inside, if one of them is what I designed and chose, I love it. But if it's something that I drifted into by default, I'm probably pretty unhappy.
Mm.
So that's principle one. I'll stop there. I think if you can get that piece right, you're on a great track. And of course, it's not trivial, but it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it's great. I do want to dive a little bit more into that, but it seems to me like living a life of being reactionary versus proactive.
Totally.
And like you said, having a desire, I like the idea of live our life by default. We are living our lives by default rather than by design. And it's funny because we will design a framework for our businesses, but we never design a framework for our lives.
Yeah, so, totally. Yeah.
Can you jump a little bit more into the blueprint and design that you have in life that works for you? And like you said, it's every day. It's compound, right? It's day to day, month to month, year to year, and then you can reflect and go, oh wow, I had a great year, and then eventually I had a great decade, and eventually I had a great life. You know,
that's right.
The whole picture.
I love, and it's so true. I love how Zig Ziglar used to say, a great life is nothing more than the sum of many great days.
Mm.
And if you're not having great days right now, don't fool yourself into thinking you're going to get to the finish line and say, I had a great life.
Mm.
Okay. It's just not how it works. So the blueprint, and that is exactly what we call it. Our coaching program, we use a methodology that's called the Lifestyle Engineering Blueprint. And it's taking all of these ideas and principles and putting them into a simple framework that you can guide your decisions around and your actions in life. So the foundation, it's like a little house. You could just imagine a little picture of a house. The foundation of the blueprint is your mindset. Everything begins with the way you approach your life in your core mindset, your beliefs, your faith, the way you think, the cage that you've created for yourself with your mind. And if you don't think that you're in a cage in your mind right now, then that's a great indication that you're in one that's really strong. Because we all are. It doesn't matter how much mindset work you do. The fact is, I am currently limited by my current mindset, my identity, my self-image. You know, read Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz or read any of the great books around these topics. You are in one. So foundationally, it's to say, how am I strengthening, leveling up, expanding my mindset in alignment with where I want to take my life? Is the mindset I have supporting the vision? And if not, then I need to start there and do that work. And if you don't know how to do that work, then go get a coach, go get help. There's so many people who are masters in this area. So that's piece one. And honestly, Eric, my engineering clients, a lot of them, they've never even had that conversation before. What are you talking about? No. My mindset is the problem. And so it's really powerful just to start exposing ourselves to these truths of how much we get in our own way through our thinking. So that's the first piece. And this is a daily practice, right? It's not something you do once and it's done. It's a daily thing. It's going to be for the rest of my life that we work on it. On top of that are what I would call the strategies, the tactics, the tools. And at the end of the day, you can have the right mindset, but we still need to show up in the world and do some things. And we want to do it well. You know, if your goal is to lose weight, it's probably not a great strategy to eat cake three times a day, you know? So let's use the right strategies. And we've carved up the strategies for us into four main areas. One is purpose. Okay, do I have clarity in my purpose? Do I know why I'm here, why it matters? Do I understand my core values deeply? And I make sure that every decision I make in my life is aligned with those, that I'm creating rules of the game that I can win around my purpose. And you mentioned it earlier, a lot of people, we could stop there the rest of the episode, just talk about purpose, because so many people don't have that clarity. But once you know why, you still need to know what. And so the second is priority. Do I have a deep sense of clarity around where I'm going, my vision, my goals, my priorities? I know what to say yes to. I know what to say no to. I know how to make those decisions quickly and easily so that I'm not constantly in this decision paralysis of what I should be doing every day. So priorities, are those clear? Productivity is next. This is all around our two most precious resources, your time and your energy. Are you using them in ways that moves the needle on what's most important for you? So being productive. And then the fourth is people. And it doesn't matter how much you want to do it alone. Nobody succeeds in life alone. And you weren't wired, the design of our being is not wired to be alone. And so learning how to master the part of you that's in relationship with others is extremely important. Do you have the right people in your life who are supporting you? Are you in proximity to the people who can help you? Do you have the courage to ask for the help that you need? All of these things around people. So, I've found literally every problem I've ever faced in my life since that divorce and burnout, the solutions lie in one or more of these categories. I either have a purpose problem, a priority problem, a productivity problem, or a people problem. And it helps me just to quickly and simply assess what's going on right now, where do I need to focus? And there's, of course, lots of work to do in each one. So those are the four pillars that hold the house up. And then the roof, we call the playbook. Strategies that are not executed don't matter. Somebody's got to do the work, Eric. Yeah. And so the playbook is all about just those daily choices, those rhythms of action. Are you getting after it? And there's a lot we uncover there with our clients, but it's easy to trick yourself into thinking you're making progress by learning. This was my whole life for a long time. I'm addicted to learning, Eric. I don't know about you. I could read books all day long. If somebody would just pay me to sit and learn stuff, I would do that job. Like, that would be great. But learning is tricky because it feels like progress, right? Even this podcast, right? I'm listening to this amazing podcast. I'm learning all these great insights from Eric and Zach. And so it triggers this sense of growth in us because learning is a part of it. But knowledge is not power. That's only half the story. It's like knowledge that you use, knowledge that you implement, knowledge that you take action on is power. Knowledge by itself is potential power, right? But potential energy, potential power is of no value, right? It's only kinetic energy. It's energy that's in motion. It's when you actually do something with it that we want to actually pay for. It creates value in life. So the playbook is all about action. Mm-hmm. That's the model.
I love it, dude. I have not used the feature within our platform here to mark quotes. Like I typically type them out, but I use it for the first time. Like, ooh, I hope I don't break something here. But learning is tricky because it feels like progress. I love that. I've never heard it put that way. And yes, knowledge is not power. It's potential power. I feel like the generation of old, I'll call them, the baby boomers, when they didn't have a vast network of information just fed into their their phones and brains as we do, knowledge was powerful because like you were a walking encyclopedia meant you were smart. Now what you're saying and what we've come to know is some of us anyway. It's the implementation of those ideas.
Exactly.
Right? Like if you have that knowledge, but you do nothing with it, like you said, action, 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 action. The tough thing though, and I don't know how you, and let's get into the last segment of the show right after this, Zach, is how do you encourage action in those who have developed habits that work against that?
Oof. Yeah. Such an important question. And for anybody, just as again, with these humbling truths we all need to face, here's one of them. 95% of your nervous system, your mind, is the subconscious. It's habit-driven. It's automatic. 5% of the horsepower, the computing power of the mind is conscious. And we think we're so present, we're so conscious. But the fact is, we're running on autopilot 95% of the time. And so, the energy around this. So you really need to be humbled on the fact that even when you think you're really driving everything, so much of what you're doing is on autopilot. So it's a super important question because if somebody does have a lifetime of conditioning to behave a certain way, procrastinate, just do the same things over and over again, risk aversion, fear-based decision-making, you name it, whatever those things are, it is not trivial to undo a lifetime of conditioning in a moment, so to speak. So it's really important to lay that out. But the way I think of it with our clients is we need two things. We need breakthrough and we need repetition. Okay. Breakthrough being that moment where you do something for the first time that has previously been either a blind spot or impossible, or you were too scared to do it, or you've never done it before, and you step into that space. And breakthrough is exhilarating. Breakthrough feels so powerful. You know, when somebody, I'll give you a great example. You know, one of my clients, he's never enjoyed conflict, always avoids conflict. And the last thing he would want to do is go to a colleague who he was in a conflict with and have a one-on-one to talk about the conflict. It's like, let's work out the relationship here. Like, he would never have that conversation. If anything, he would quit his job and find another company to work for before he would go have that conversation. Well, he had his first really meaningful, courageous one-on-one with one of his colleagues who he was in conflict with. And that was a breakthrough for him. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just like, wow, I've never done this before. And it went pretty well. Not perfectly, but it went pretty well. And the cool part, Eric, nobody died. Right. So all of those fears that, you know, we're going to not walk out of here alive, he realized there's safety on the other side of these hard conversations. Well, cool. He had his breakthrough. But guess what? If he doesn't do it again, and then again, and then again, in 6 months' time or in 12 months' time, it's going to be just as hard for him to have that courageous conversation as it was the first time. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing I encourage everybody in is, first, let's find the places where you need to step up and have the courage and the willpower and the support and the accountability and the coaching to have a breakthrough. And that does mean investing in yourself and taking risk and doing the things that are hard to get that first step over the line. But then it's about the spaced repetition, saying, okay, I need to get another rep and another rep and another rep. Because if you don't do that, then you're going to fall back to the old conditioning. And so, you know, honestly, you need to be pushed sometimes. That's why I have coaches. That's why you have coaches. That's why my clients come to me to get pushed over the line and have breakthrough. But then the reason they stay in our, you know, masterminds and work with us for long periods of time is because you also need that repetition and that accountability to make this your new normal, you know, and then just keep taking that next step and that next step and that next step.
Yeah. Little by little, chip away at it and allow yourself some grace and space to understand, like, we're not perfect, right? I was just having this conversation with my wife and, you know, she applies a lot of pressure on herself and I'm like, it's okay. You can make mistakes,
yeah.
You know, and we learn from them. All right. Well, let's jump into the next segment of the show, brother, as we as the time ticks away here. Man, I have so much I want to unpack and add to what you're saying there, but I'm like looking at the clock like, God damn.
So, yeah. I totally get it. Makes me appreciate why people like Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss do these 3 and 4 hour episodes. It's like, but yeah. Trade-offs, right? Trade-offs.
I know. I've had long episodes, definitely. Not 3 hours. I stand as you do as well. I see. So it would be tough. 3 hour, possible, yeah. But yeah, it would be tough. So, let's get into the segment of the show that I love. Most of the time is my favorite segment, but embracing the F word. Meaning failure.
Yes.
Yeah. Lessons in life. What do you got, brother?
You know, we talked about a lot of high level things and principles today. So what I want to share, a very tactical failure that has shown up for me in business a couple of times and created huge challenge. And I learned it the hard way. So one of the things that we fall into as we start to grow a business, we hire people, we scale the work, and we delegate things. So maybe you're, you know, a career professional. This is the same for you. Anytime you start delegating work. And Eric, what I fell victim to was the desire to be kind, and I want to be liked by my team. You know, this is one of my personal challenges as a leader, is I like to be liked. And sometimes as a leader, being liked is not important, but I like to be liked. And so we would set up, you know, the standard work and we'd create, you know, the training and we'd get to where that team member could do the job. And then I'd just let them go operate. And what we would do is create, you know, dashboards and reporting and say, okay, you know, let me know every day how the work is going and bring me any issues that you're having as they come up and I'll make sure and support you and give you anything you need. And those dashboards in many cases, were self-reported metrics. You know, so how many, leads did we contact on LinkedIn yesterday? You know, report the number in the spreadsheet. We're going to look at that every day in our daily huddle and see how it's going. How did we do on creating our emails for the week? Blah, 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 right? You can imagine any task. Well, we got into this rhythm. I'm trusting them to share the data with me, and I'm looking at that data for any signals of, you know, things going wrong or sideways, and it all looks good. It's all green lights. And then, Eric, I start to see, you know, some things slipping in our business results. And I'm looking at all our data and our metrics like, I don't understand. We're doing all the same work. We're, something must be changing outside of our control. What's going on? And, you know, it can't be what my team member is doing because I'm seeing the numbers she's reporting every day and they're all good. So it must be something else. And I go looking other places, et cetera. And here's what happened. I was looking at the dashboard and all green lights on these metrics. I wasn't looking at the work. And what was happening is that this team member started to get a little bit complacent, a little bit lazy, a little bit, oh, Zach's not paying close attention. And they might have actually only done 15 lead messages that day. And they reported 50 on the spreadsheet because they didn't want me to find out.
Mm.
And they might have said they had the emails done and they put it as complete in the spreadsheet, but the email actually wasn't complete.
Mm.
And you see, I got so conditioned. We talked about that automatic by that default life. Well, I fell into default leadership. I was just looking at that information and I stopped going to the source of the work. Hey, you know, you and me, let's look at the actual value creation itself and let's check at the source of the work. And as an engineer, it's so embarrassing to say I fell into this because we talk about the Gemba. It's like this concept from Japanese culture, you know, the Toyota way, where instead of sitting in a conference room talking about the problem, let's walk out to the assembly line mm-hmm. and look at the problem together. It's a really powerful principle in all of business. Go to the work where the value is created to look for the problem instead of sitting in your ivory tower in the office thinking about the problem or just trusting the reporting out of what's happening. And so this was a failure mode that I fell into and it cost us a ton. Obviously, I mean, I let this person go because they had not been truthful in their work. It created a huge backlog of incomplete work that for months, I thought we were on track and everything was not getting done. And then I was up nights and weekends busting my butt to cover that gap in the meantime. And we had to completely redo everything. So here's the failure. You know, don't just let yourself believe all of the signals coming in, even in your own business, just because it worked before. When things start to go sideways in your life, in your company, in your career, go to the source, go to the place where the work happens. Talk to the actual person. Don't get it hearsay. Go look at the actual, you know, work being done. Don't just let somebody tell you what it is. That for me has been a huge lesson learned and how we're so much faster in terms of diagnosing problems and getting after it in the business now because I don't waste any time. It's like, hey, something's not working. We're going to get into it together. Show me the work. And it's not about a lack of trust. It's about doing what's right at the place where you can create the most value. And so there you go. It's a really tactical thing, but man, it cost me a lot of money and a lot of time falling victim to that. And hopefully it'll be useful for somebody hearing it.
Yeah, powerful stuff, dude. I marked my second clip here, but there's a lot of them, dude. Like tons of knowledge and quotes and yeah, really great episode, dude. I appreciate what you've been sharing here. I love that. Doing what's right in the place where you can offer the most value. It's really leaning into your strengths, man, and understanding and having that clarity of what your superpower and purpose is. It's so critical in business especially, but even in life. I like the idea of, man, that's so great, the Toyota way and walking down to the assembly line. Versus just getting comfortable. I think, you know, you and I experienced 2022 as a wonderful year in business and growth. And I've heard the saying and never thought that I would have to be concerned about being the guy when the tide rolls out, you know, without swim trunks on. And I felt like that was a moment in time where I was like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't have everything in place. I don't have all the things that I need because I'm not, like you said, going down to the assembly line. I'm comfortable up here, my ivory tower. Everything looks great and the reporting's great.
Totally.
People can have the, if it isn't an individual like that in your case, but in my case, someone who thinks and has great intentions and is doing all the right things, but it's not necessarily the right things for the business, especially when there's market shifting and a lot of things that we need to adapt as small to mid-sized business owners, like that, right? Like corporations take forever to move because they're gigantic, but smaller companies, let's go. We kind of forget how to be scrappy sometimes when you get comfortable, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, I was acting like a Fortune 500 CEO, right? When here I'm not even, you know, it's obviously completely opposite. And you can't just sit back and, you know, trust the dashboards. It's like, get in the game.
Yeah.
Go do the work. And anyway, super true, Eric.
We get into this weird thing, and I know we have to land the bird here in a second, but we get into this weird thing in our space of entrepreneurship, and we're around a lot of really successful people that we look up to. And I shared, you know, something with you earlier off mic and camera of someone that, you know, I look up to that had to shutter the doors, and maybe he wasn't going down to the assembly line. That's my guess. But is the leadership is always talking about how we need to buy back our time, or, you know, delegate and clone yourself. And when we get to that point where we're like, wow, I'm only spending 10, 15 hours a week on my business, maybe one for others. And this is great. I'm living the dream. I did what I was told to do. But yeah, you're right. How do you balance that between, like, are you working on the business, in the business, and are you even paying attention to the business? Could fall into a trap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you use the word vision, you know, it's like, is everyone on the team who you delegated to really, really clear on the vision for the business right now? And especially if it shifts and pivots and changes, are you as the CEO driving that? That's a huge challenge. And if you know, if you're only in your business for an hour a week, I'm sorry, but you're not transferring enough of the DNA and the vision and the mission to your team on that regular basis. And the organism that is the business will evolve into something that you don't want it to if you're not the one creating that driving force as a CEO. So I know we're kind of on another topic there, but it's like, I really do believe the whole disconnect yourself from the whole thing as the big goal, I'm not opposed to the idea of buying back time at all. I think that's really powerful. But I do think there's a limit to that, Eric. You got to be there if you want to remain the driving force and the visionary. If you're okay with letting your team dictate where the business goes, then okay, that's a different story.
Yeah, then become someone on the board and pass that all to the new CEO or whoever it is.
100% agree with you.
But yeah, no, you're right. This is absolutely, this is another podcast conversation that we can have in a part here. Because yeah, that's an interesting path that I think we're both kind of aware of and experiencing to a degree. But let's boil things down, brother, into the one word and how you help people.
Courage. Courage is my word. I also like the variant on courage that is encouragement. And yeah, I think of courage as the raw ingredient. Encouragement is the action. And why I love that, Eric, is when I encourage you, think about what that means. I'm taking something from within myself and I'm placing courage into you. I am encouraging you. I'm giving you courage to take the next step, to do the hard thing, to face the fear or the demon that's holding you back in life. And my business name is Oasis of Courage. And the whole mission is to give you the courage to take that next step, the one that you're not going to take because you don't have it right now. And as soon as you do, there's that breakthrough, there's that next step forward. And to me, courage is the catalyst to all of our growth, because to grow, you need to get out of your comfort zone. And to get out of your comfort zone, you're going to face fear at the door every day. And if you don't have the courage to face fear and take action anyway, then you're stuck. So a life without courage is not a life at all, in my opinion. And the people we work with. It's like, if you're not ready for that, then don't sign up, because this is not a place for people to get comfortable. It's a place for people to step up and live with courage and go reclaim ground in the life that you want to live. And so, courage.
Love it, brother. Powerful stuff, man. Thank you for your time here. Thanks for sharing. You know, I learned a ton and I really appreciated our conversation, brother. For those of you who are looking for more Zach White, you can hear him at the Happy Engineer Podcast. But, and when they want to reach out to you, how can they best do that, brother?
Yeah, please hit me up anytime. My social hotspot is LinkedIn. So if you search Zach White, Z-A-C-H, Zach White, you'll find me on LinkedIn. Please connect and shoot me a message there. Or if you just want to get to know about what we do on the interwebs, it's oasisofcourage.com.
Awesome. Thanks again, brother. Always appreciate our time together.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K. At onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.